Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for what He's doing in these days. God has put a wonderful message in my heart. We've been dealing with following God, and we're going to continue talking about it, but this part of it, the Lord wants me to focus on willingness. In the other web broadcast, I gave a little history about how I learned to follow God. And the last broadcast ended with the way the Lord taught me to receive His word in my heart. And then He was able to commune with me and talk to me. And I could listen to Him and hear Him. And see, the word of God gives us the pattern that the Holy Spirit won't deviate from. Every thought that the Holy Spirit gives you, every conversation He has, it will be scripturally word-based. And every thought that He has, everything He has to say, it's never going to deviate from what He's already given. We follow God on two fronts. First, the written word of God. And then secondly, the spoken word of God. And Jesus told Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So we're also required to obey the spoken word of God, because the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us, according to what Jesus said in St. John chapter 16, verse 13. If we didn't need guidance, He wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. Zechariah, he told us plainly that the work of God, salvation, and all of the way it works, is not by might, it's not by the might of man, and it's not by the power of man, but it's by the Holy Spirit. So why do so many people leave out the counsel of the Holy Spirit? They make their key life decisions aside from the guidance of God. I hear so many people say, "Something told me not to do that." That was the mercy of God. He was trying to help you prevent something from happening that should not have happened against you. And then I hear so many people say, "I don't know why the Lord brought this on me." God don't bring things on people. You know, people have gotten so much false information because when a man leans to his own way, he cannot learn the ways of the Father. If you already trust something and you're acting on it, you voted. And when the Lord tried to help you steer clear of some danger, you're convinced with what you trust already, and you can't learn His ways. With that, when He reveals something, you have to trust it. You have to have faith in it. If you don't have faith in what He gives you, you will obey what you trust the most. Whatever you trust the most, that's what you'll obey. And when life don't work, people still don't give up on what they trust. They still say, "Well, I don't know why God brought this. I don't know why God let me go through this." It's being stubborn and hard-headed. It's being ignorant of what He has to say. If the longer we're ignorant of His word, the more we won't have faith for what we need. See, faith begins where the will of God is known. And when people are unclear what His will is, then they can't have faith, and then they can't progress. This is the order. Receive God's word in your heart. Believe it by your faith, and act on it and speak it. If you can receive it in your heart and speak it, then you're able to act on it. Receive it in your heart, speak it, and then act on it. If you try to act on it without speaking it, it may not be as real to you. Why? Because everything God does, He speaks it first. Now, what makes us, we're made in His image, why should we not speak His word? Sometimes we have habit systems and attitudes, and sometimes mindsets that's different from the word of God. But when you speak the word of God and you hear yourself saying the word of God, the word of God becomes alive in your heart. And as you speak it, your will begins to change, and it's easier to act on what God said. It's easier to believe what God said. But when the order is disrupted, then people fall and get convinced of the wrong thing. That's what happened to Eve. In the discourse of Genesis, the serpent came, and he came lying. And when he lied, I'll read it to you. He said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And then, look what happened, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And death started working on them the moment Adam took a bite of that fruit that he should not have eaten of. Now, she said, we shouldn't even touch it lest we die. And she believed that she should not bother that tree. But the enemy came with a lie, and she believed the lie of the enemy. She was deceived by his words against God's word. And Adam was not deceived. He willingly disobeyed God. Now, the enemy comes to kill, steal, destroy. If God, in other words, they believe God lied to them when they ate off the tree, and God can't lie. With that being said, if he tell you something is dangerous, if you don't believe that he ain't lying, if you can believe that he's telling the truth, then you'll steer away from the things that he tells you is dangerous. Now, the way as we receive God's word on the inside and we speak it, then we'll act on it. James put it this way, if you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle your body. That meant that the order is receive God's word in your heart, speak God's word, and your body will follow your tongue. Your body and your will follow your tongue. If you have enough light in you to speak God's word, then your body will follow the tongue, and your mind will follow the tongue. Your will will follow your tongue. The words you speak of God. And when you speak wrong, your body and your will will turn and follow your tongue. And if your tongue is if you fill your heart with God's word, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. That's what you're going to speak. And your body and your mindset and your habit system will be reformed according to the word of God. Now, I said earlier, when the Lord taught me to follow him, he dealt with the Holy Spirit guided me. He had to help me drive out things that I was taught wrong. And I said in the last website broadcast that when he called me to the ministry, I felt like I didn't know what to do. So I spoke what he said, and I would be quiet when I finished speaking the message he gave me. Then I observed how he ministered to the audience through me. And then later during the week, I'd think about how he did it, because I was trying to learn how God operates, because I knew I didn't know what I was doing. And sometimes when you and I had already heard what Miss Stevens said about when she read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding." All of those times she read those scriptures, it got in my heart. It became easy for me to receive what God was saying and release what I believed before in opposition. And Charles Capps taught me how to confess, how to speak your words of faith on purpose. See, we're made in the God class. We're made in His image. We have to order our life with our words. You can't just make a plan and not speak it. And with that, I make my plan after God revealed His plan. I don't plan to not do what God said do. And I don't put my plans first. I make plans that I think I need, but when God gives me a plan, it trumps my plan. And I reform my plan, and I live His plan. That's what following God is about. This is the walk of safety. This is the way we do it. And this is the way it ought to be done. And this is not the way, this is not traditional. Even the traditions in this country is, people believe a certain way. A lot of pastors and ministers go to seminary school. And the seminary school is, they're patterned after the old Catholic Church. Even though they were Protestants, they still did some of the same things that the old Catholics done. See, man messed things up. This is how people get off track. They trust God and in part. And sometimes people believe, well, if I preach salvation, if I preach healing, if I do all the things that Jesus said do, I'm doing everything I should do. He also said, that he that is led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He never left out being led by the Spirit of God. But the seminary schools left that part out because the king wanted a people that he could control. And there are people now, the enemy wants the church to be as weak as it can be. So this is how Satan is. I couldn't stop you from receiving the call of God on your life. So I'm going to get into seminary schools and I'm going to water it down a bit so that I can get away with some stuff. Because Satan knows this. He got enough sense between his ears to know that we bear fruit after our kind. If we preach a compromised gospel, then we will have a compromised people. That's how Laodicea, the last church mentioned in Revelation that Jesus talked about, he said he was going to spit them out of his mouth. They became lukewarm. They had a reputation of being godly, but they were definitely ungodly. They were lukewarm. They were neither cold nor hot. And on a hot July day, you want a glass of cold. On a winter's day, you want some hot water. You want a hot beverage like coffee or something. Now, if it gets lukewarm, most people will spit that out. Hot represent on fire for God, love people that love God's will. Cold represent people that hate God's will. Hot represents people that love God's will. They're determined to do what God said do. Cold represent people who definitely hate God's will. And lukewarm people is an irritant to God. And the Lord has pleaded with people to follow Him, obey Him, don't get in sin, do what's right, love your brother, walk in love with people. And people do what they want to do, and they say, well, I'm going to heaven, I ain't going. They don't care if they don't love people enough to go out there and minister to them. Yeah, but I'm not saved by works. You're saved by grace through faith. But the love of God calls you to do the works. And if you're in a position where your schedule is tight and you work a lot of hours, God didn't call you to the ministry. Everybody can do something. When you pay tithes and offerings, it helps the ministry. God will reward you. You get the same reward. If you give a prophet a glass of water, you get the same reward that he gets. Do things in the name of the Lord. Some of you have retired. You have time on your hands, and you want people to talk to. There are churches that need you. You could answer the phone. You could find out what the pastor needs. There are things you could do. But you have a right to do whatever you want to do. When you're on fire for God, that doesn't mean you have to leave your country, go to another one, start a big ministry. It just means walk in love with God. Say things that encourage people. You don't even have to leave your house. Nowadays, God got it where you can send people loving emails. I get a text almost every day from a brother named James Taylor. Jerome Taylor. I had him on the radio. He sent me messages, scriptural messages. You can do things like that. He and his wife, they send people blessings. Being on fire for God is living with the attitude that you love God. And your habit system, you included God. You do things continually to build the kingdom. You help people. You don't do their work for them now, but you help them. You help them understand. You live a life that blesses. Now, so God is going to spit out the lukewarm, and the cold people are not in it anyway. But the lukewarm people think they're going to heaven, and they're not. God's going to spit them out. He's going to give them over to their own mindset, and they're going to refuse to do the things of the scripture. That's why Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, and he would turn and say, I never knew you. They never had a relationship with, they never obeyed him. They disobeyed the scriptures. They did what they wanted to, and they even got in sin. Now, but they had a reputation of being on God's side. But this didn't start in one day. This started a long time ago. The enemy caused the leaders to compromise through ignorance and deception and treachery. And it's a struggle to live when you don't know what to do. But if you're determined to live according to your own understanding, if you lean to your own ways, it's going to hinder you from learning God's ways. And that affects your desires. That affects your will. But when the word of God comes, Jesus said, the way you measure it, it'll be measured back to you. He said, take heed how you hear in Mark chapter 4. Take heed how you hear. For the way you measure it, it will be measured again. Take heed what you hear. One scripture said, you think you're in the kingdom of God, go search the scriptures. What does the scripture say about, did you believe on Jesus Christ? Did you believe that his blood washed away your sin and he rose again to justify you? If your religion teach otherwise, you're wrong. You will not go to heaven. And there are many more millions of people are going to heaven. John saw the 4 and 20 elders, and he saw the 144,000. And there's, you know, the Jehovah Witness like to say only 144,000 people going. That's not true. The kingdom of God is going to heaven. Everybody in the kingdom. The 144,000 he saw, they were on the earth. They were Jews. They obeyed God. They either got raptured out or they got killed. And that's why he saw them. They came all at once. And I believe the Lord raptured them in the middle of the tribulation. And there's more than one rapture. There's going to be a rapture before the tribulation. And John saw the 144,000 from earth. If they didn't get raptured, they got killed. But they were there. They were virgins. They were committed Christians that did God's work. They were evangelists on the earth. And it was 12,000 from each tribe. And I believe they were raptured. But they were in heaven. They were on earth during the tribulation period. And then the Lord brought them to heaven. See, people say things and teach things that's just wrong. And there's no life in error. If you believe error, you're wrong. Even if you believe it sincerely. people believe they're going to heaven aside from Jesus Christ. They're not going either. God can't deviate from his word. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life, and they won't die. And hell has no power over them, but he has power over everything else. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives you something to do or say, and you hear the word of God, you receive an instruction from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm focusing more on personal things. This is where God, people are missing. When the Lord is training you and he helps, he's going to help you learn who you are in Christ. One thing you have is authority over Satan. He gave me instructions so I could understand that I have full power over Satan. I said in the last broadcast, Satan can be very obedient when you speak the word of God in faith and command him to get out of your life, or when you command him to release other people and leave them alone, when you command him to leave their body, when you command him to not make people sick and stop making people sick, when you command him to stop speaking to you, the first time I got married, the best man, he told me, he said, if you're ever tempted by a woman, don't just pray for yourself. Pray for the woman that the enemy's trying to tempt you with. If she's so what I would do, I would say, Satan, you can't tempt me with her, and you can't tempt her with me. And you know what happened? They go about their business. And I go about my business, and I don't think about it. He gave me advice because Elder Lewis told him that. I took authority over the situation on my end and on her end. The enemy always trying to start something, and it works. I didn't just say, Lord, help me be strong so I won't be tempted by this woman. I'll also say, help her be strong so she won't be tempted with me. And then I command Satan, though. I say, you cannot tempt me with that woman, and you cannot tempt her with me. In fact, you can't tempt me with anybody. And you can't tempt anybody with me. And I can walk in peace and not be bothered with folks. And the same thing goes for anger. I refuse to be angry with my brother. And you can't cause my brother to be angry with me. I kill the fire you're trying to start. You have to drive Satan out. The Lord trained me. And the word trained you. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to his word so you can believe it, so that you can speak it, and then you can act on it. Now, once I have in my will to obey God, you have to protect that kind of determination, because it's underworldly attack. The world's going to try to stop you from reaching the goals of God in your life. The world's going to try to stop you from receiving God's best in your life. The world's going to try to keep you in a condition where you can't pay tithes, you can't give offerings. It's going to try to get you to overspend so that you just can't do what God give you to do. But you're going to have to fight back. And with determination. Now, most people who love God, they would obey God in every way if there was no interference. Some people, when God give them something to do, they get excited. They want to do it. They tell their friends. And then something happened. And it's like poking a balloon with a pin. It just let all the air out. And it's not going to happen now because they gave up. Some people will go a bit further. If they have a struggle, they'll stay determined and they'll start working toward it. But they don't know how to fight and resist the enemy. And the enemy will set traps in other places of their life, and they'll let it happen, and they won't continue, and they'll live in a struggle for a long time, never doing what God gave them to do. And some people they let their determination go, just like a child with a balloon. They got it by the string, and the balloon has helium and it wants to go in the air. They got the plan of God, they got it in their hand, but when people come and discourage them, they let it go. And they don't get it back. Or they don't retrieve what God gave them. And they let it, when you let it go, you're in disobedience because you're not doing what God said do. Some people want to do it, but they don't have the fight in them. Now, that's not the way to treat the words of God. Everything he say to you, when he told me to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night, I didn't ignore God. I made sure I at least read 15 chapters before I went to sleep. And I did it every day. And it became a way of life. It became a habit. It became something I looked forward to. It started off as a struggle because my body wasn't used to it. And my mind was used to doing what I wanted to do. Sometimes when I read, I wanted to do other things. I wanted to watch TV. I wanted to go to sleep. I wanted to sit down and eat. But I made myself do what I had to do. Sometimes I did sit down and eat, so I could have energy to read. I was so tired. I did what I had to do. I did what he said. I got the word in my heart. Then the Holy Spirit was able to speak. Then the word of God gave me strength on the inside. Sometimes people collapse in their will because they're not willing, because they have no spirit, their body's weak, just like it's weak from not having enough food and water. You can also be weak by not having enough word of God and praise in your heart. See, the word of God is like food. Praise and worship is like water. Praise and worship is like drinking water and Gatorade on a hot day. It allows the Holy Spirit to put the puzzle of the word together for you. See, God gave us the word in puzzle form so that the enemy can't figure it out. When you speak in tongues, Satan don't know what you're saying. And nobody else does either. But the ones that hear you speaking in the languages of them, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to them. That he can do that. But when you pray in tongues, Satan don't know what you're saying. And when the Holy Spirit opens it up to you, he's giving you revelation of what he said in his written word. See, he hid it from the cold world. When they read the Bible, the word of God, even though it's in written form, it does the same thing that God does. It resists the proud and give grace to the humble. It resists the proud and give grace to the humble. It's a puzzle to the proud people. Even Christians that went proud, it becomes a puzzle to them. But the Holy Spirit opens it up to those who love him. Those who are not trying to figure out what they can get away with. See, when people go pride, when they get pride in their life and in their heart, when they study the word, it becomes a puzzle. But when they submit to the word of God in faith, the Holy Spirit opens it up. He gives them revelation from it. And then when you speak that revelation, which is the pure, rightly divided word of God, it operates in your life and it's powerful. And you can feel the life in it. But when you're in any form of resistance, you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. That's why I said in one broadcast, if you love God, draw near to him. Humble yourself and draw near. Just enjoy him. Receive his word. Get to know him. Don't worry about the problems in your ministry. Don't worry about the people and they're going to be hard-headed. Whatever they do, don't let it bother you at all. If the plans are not going right, you enjoy the presence of the Lord yourself, pastors, preachers, ministers, husbands, wives. Enjoy the Lord, and he'll help you understand how to deal with all your problems from a God's eye view, from a biblical standpoint. But when you lean to your own way, you're not going to learn all that. You're just not. If you're double-minded, you ain't going to learn it either. But if you receive it by faith, you can not only receive God's word and the life of it, but when you're under attack, you will contend for the word, and you will fight like Paul did in Acts. He was always under attack, but he didn't stop. They put him in jail. He praised God and got people saved in jail, and the prison, and the guard at the jail, and his house when he took him home. All those people got saved because he would not stop obeying God, just like you're going to do. So when God give you something to do, follow him. Don't trust your old determination, habits. Speak the word of God. When God give me an assignment, something to do, I speak the life of God in it. I speak that my web broadcast is going to reach millions and millions of people, thousands and millions of people, even thousands of millions. Whoever the Lord sent to it, they will receive from these messages. I can't see them, and I don't need to see them. I put it in God's hands. He'll bless it like the little boy's lunch, and he will feed multitudes. If you put something in God's hand that he started, he's going to bless it. If he fed 5,000 men and their families out of a few pieces of bread and a few loaves of bread and a few fish, what do you think he's going to do if you put something that he started in his hands? When I put these broadcasts on the website, I'm putting it in God's hands. And he's going to bless it, and he's going to multiply it. Just like he's going to do in your life. Now, I'm out of time, but follow God completely. Follow him with determination like David. Fight back. Fight the good fight of faith and finish the course of God.